welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, December 7th, 2009. I'm Sam Minter. I've got Yvonne Beau with me. Hello, Yvonne.
Hey, hello.
And, you know, I know now you have, like, lots and lots of free time to think about topics and things to talk about, right?
Yep. Well, I did.
Yeah, well, I know. So you mentioned beforehand you wanted to start by talking about a few encounters you've had this week with some folks who are very strongly anti-Obama, and that may lead us on to other conversations. So let's get started.
Well, I went and I was at a couple of I went out with a friend of mine and some of his friends. I didn't know his friends, okay? So there were these other people I didn't know, and one of them just showed up and people were talking about random stuff, whatever, and all of a sudden the guy just went off on some rage on Obama, and what I found about this is that I was thinking when I first came and like was in the U.S. like visiting many years back, I remember and I had remarked that one of the things that I actually liked about being in the U.S. is that people usually were actually not as passionate about politics in certain ways.
Okay.
Because back in Puerto Rico, people were passionate about politics to the point of gunplay. Okay.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, they said that there were three topics you never wanted to talk about was politics, religion. I can't remember the other one, but the politics and religion, fuck, you never wanted to start up a fucking conversation about politics. And the truth of the matter is that in social situations in Puerto Rico, if you were on a social situation, you never fucking brought up politics. Okay. It's just, you know, that
right.
was just
because if you happened to be in company that disagreed with you, all of a sudden, whatever pleasant evening you would have
war.
Would be gone. Yes,
exactly. It's just turned into a war. I mean, and forget it, you know, and, you know, I've had, you know, I know a number of people that are friends of mine who were very Republican, very pro whatever the hell Bush would say. And to be quite honest with you, my approach has been just to avoid the subject altogether. You know, they're friends of mine. We don't agree on this. And let's just keep it at that. Let's not talk about it. You know, it's just pointless. But but these last few years, especially with Bush in office and Obama, it's been like the discourse has just gone. You know, people just lose it, and say some crazy shit too. I mean, I'm like, you know, I will say in both directions. Okay, you know. I mean, I'm willing to admit, you know, I mean,
there some of the rhetoric of things you've said about our good friends W and Dick Cheney, you know, are not necessarily the most civil things.
No, but I'll say it here on this forum. But I must admit that I try to avoid those conversations in social.
Right.
Circumstances, okay? Because it's just, you know, it was just degenerated to something just ridiculous, and I just didn't see the point. And, you know, there are people with different opinions. I mean, they have the right to those. You know, but it was just, you know, I don't understand some of the stuff. I guess I've seen it because.
So give us some examples. You say you got into some conversations this week.
Well, I didn't actually. I tried to avoid the conversations, to be quite honest with you, but they came up anyway. They came up anyway, and it was just like one. For example, was this guy was just railing against Obama randomly, whatever, and then you know they were showing he was going off on the speech that Obama gave about Afghanistan. Okay, mm-hmm. Going off on, hey, he's never served in the military. Why else he's standing there at West Point? I'm like thinking, geez. You know, Bush didn't go to the military either, you know.
He was in the National Guard.
Well, he was in the National Guard, but he was – oh, come on. That doesn't fucking count.
He was in the military. He didn't go to combat.
He didn't go to any combat. I mean, besides –
there are plenty of people in the military who don't go to combat, but let's move on. Yes.
But you know, so I'm like, yeah, but so – I mean, there's a lot of people didn't go to. I mean, what? Why is that such a thing? Ah, he's reading off a teleprompter. I'm like, Jesus Christ, which fucking politician last 30 fucking 40 fucking years hasn't read a speech off a teleprompter, for Pete's sake, you know?
That was a big criticism of Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. I mean, what the hell? And I'm like, you know, it's just like, okay. And then, you know, then the other guy was saying that the country is being led into communism and that the whole nation is going to be destroyed and that private enterprise will cease to exist because – and then something about how Obama took GM's shareholders' money somehow. And I'm like – you know, and I started trying to talk about, well, what are you talking about? I mean, GM's the one that went belly up. They're the ones that lost I checked out the number, over $130 billion over 3 years. You know, the government didn't take the money out of their pockets. They're the ones that signed a deal with the UAW. They're the ones that created all this stuff. I mean, I tried to reason this. I'm like, what did the government do? And the truth of the matter is, and I actually do believe this is true, I told them, I got to be honest with you. Whether it was McCain or Obama, I think that probably
they
both
would have done the same thing.
Exactly. They would have both bailed him out. Ah, that's just bullshit. I'm like, okay, well, you know. Yeah, I'm like, it was just – and my point about bringing this up is I don't know about you, but I most – you know, you didn't encounter so many people – on the street being so livid about political issues, say 15, 20 years ago. I don't think you did. Not the number of people.
I don't know. Not I mean, that there weren't. People always say that, and I think it goes up and down a little bit. But I mean, you know, and people, you know, it's the civility is gone, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, okay, maybe.
I'm not talking about the civility of the politicians.
No,
people on the street.
I know, but maybe, I mean, look at this. I mean, maybe we had like some sort of golden age of everybody able to talk reasonably like 20 years ago. I don't know. I'm not really sure. I think so, but.
Go back to the 60s. Yeah, well, obviously, we're not an age of civility.
Right.
You know?
Well, that was going to be my point here is, you know, if you think we're divided now. You know, look at 1968 or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. True. Good point. Good
you know,
point.
Or hell, yeah, 1850 something. You know, there's a little bit of division going on there.
Civil War, you know. I guess maybe you're right.
But even in recent history, I mean, this is not the most divided time of. Most of the people alive today, well, maybe not. I don't know what the demographics are, but lots of people alive today remember times where we were much more divided than we are now. And if I think back, even in my own memory, you know, I mean, during the Clinton administration, I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on there and a lot of people who felt very strongly pro or anti Clinton. You know,
but I don't think they were as polarized about him, though.
And during the George W. Bush administration, I mean,
sure. I agree. Hell, you know, I'm not gonna. I mean, I certainly, you know, was you know, didn't like you know, certainly didn't like W. I think I've expressed that quite clearly.
I mean, I think my point is that you know, over time, you know. The exact issues and personalities change. And sure, every once in a while you'll have some time frame where, you know, you've got somebody who's really popular and who's riding a wave and, you know, you have a little bit less than usual of this. But I think this kind of contention is actually the norm rather than the exception.
I think it's the exceptional
periods where you don't have that. And the other thing that changes over time is how much you're exposed to the people who disagree with you. Because very often, you know, they're sort of self-segregated groups. I mean, for one thing, there is a heavy geographic concentration here, you know, in terms of, you know, you'll get one entirely different experience if you're like, in Seattle where I am, or, you know, in the Northeast, compared to, you know, if you're walking around in Mississippi, you know?
Sure. And I was in Palm Beach this week, you know, for the most part, which is very
conservative.
You know, conservative. Yes. So, yeah.
I think that has a good deal to do with it too. Like, there are certain times where, you know, if most of who you're exposed to are people who you agree with and who you're hanging out with, you'll be like, oh, everybody's all agreeable and blah, blah,
sure,
blah. But
sure,
it's
sure.
not because that's really the situation amongst the population at large. It's because you're only talking to people who agree with you. You know, anyway.
We
need to take a break. We'll be right back and we'll continue after this.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620 and LiganairRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now.
Come on, baby. Let's do the twist.
Well, they got a new dance and it goes like this.
I hit the radio dial and tune it up all the way.
I got a dancing in the moonlight.
Classic music for a classic American town. AM 1620. And in stereo at LiganairRadio.com, the Valley.
And we are back. So,
you know, and one of the things that was brought up, which, you know, I guess I just decided to stop the conversation at the time because it just wasn't productive. And I like this guy, you know, and I just, you know, I didn't particularly want to see him all riled up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're having an enjoyable time, you know, we're having some drinks, there's a barbecue. I'm like, you know, I really, you know, I prefer to remain friends with the guy to get him all riled up about this shit, to be quite honest with you. I know I'm not going to change his opinion, so I don't like to create such a confrontation when I know that I'm not going to get anything out of it. Just, you know, piss off somebody. So I don't do that. And, you know, they're entitled to their opinion. That's fine, you know. But it's just I see some of the concepts that are being thrown out. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's like for some reason, small business will be destroyed. Taxes will go through the roof. And we can't really tax anybody because that just is going to kill everything. And I'm hearing all this stuff and I'm like, you know, I had another friend of mine who was there who's Canadian, and, you know, we're going, I'm like, you know, I was just saying, you know, I'm an optimist, I was saying, you know, which I really am, you know. I thought, you know, despite no matter which person won, you know, we're going to get ahead somehow. You know, I mean, I think it's just – I think the U.S. in general, compared to other countries where I've been to, I mean, most people are optimists, okay? You know, I think – or the percentage of people that are optimists are high. I mean, I remember going to Argentina, for example, and it's like, oh, my gosh, the sense of dread of everybody is just unbelievable. I mean, you know, I was like, damn it, you know, don't you – you know, any situation happened, oh, it's not we're just going to be screwed. We're going to be double screwed. We're going to be triple screwed. I mean, it's like, Jesus, you don't think we're ever getting out? Nah, we're fucked. You know, that's the way it is. Forget about it. And just, I'm like, oh, man. But I, you know, I think that the U.S. is not like that. Most people have optimism that eventually things will improve. I really believe that. And I think that helps the country move forward in difficult situations like the ones that the country is facing right now. But I also will say this, that I know, you know, you talk about, oh, they're going to raise taxes by so and so forth, and that's going to destroy business. And I'm like, why? Why is it? What, you think people are not going to go out and try to make money because instead of keeping 33%, they keep 30. They only, you know, instead of keeping 67%, they only get to keep 62%. I mean, do you really think people are not going to invest? I mean, that is bullshit. I mean, you go to countries, say, you know, say other successful democracies around the world. Take, for example, Sweden or Germany, for example. Their individual tax rates are higher than the U.S. You're going to tell me that they don't have successful free enterprise and businesses? What? You know, does Ericsson ring a bell? Does, BMW, Mercedes-Benz, SAP, the software company? I mean, you know, just to name a couple. I mean, you know, Finland as well has high tax. Nokia? What? This is a bunch of, like, you know, people that don't generate companies that create you know, good products and like create profit for their employees. I mean, come on, this is bullshit, man. I just don't understand why people believe that because, you know, at the top marginal rate for somebody making, you know, over 250, 400,000, whatever the hell the amount, goes up a couple of points, that somehow that's going to destroy the economy. You know, I think it's a worse situation to be, situation where we're just piling up debt with no end than to increase taxes in one way or another in order to cut down our debts, you know? I don't know, but I guess, you know, I've been with a lot of people from a lot of countries. I've seen, like, Brazil, for example. I mean, the number of companies, new companies and successful companies that I've seen grow in Brazil in the last few years. And let me tell you something. You think the tax system is complex here? My freaking God. The tax system in Brazil is so arcane and complex. Oh, my God. Never see anything like it. But you know, they still go out and they create new businesses and they do things and they export and they do this and do that and have a very fast growing economy despite those things. And I think that, you know, it's not the government who's going to fucking make businesses and start money. It's us. You know, we're the ones that are going out there and we're busting our butt. We're working every day. Could the government maybe make it a little bit simpler, difficult? Yeah, they can. But I think that in the long run, you know, the fact that you have a society that that respects work, that compensates people for that work, that has people who are well educated that go out and like start businesses and do enterprises and do enterprising things. That's what's really going to grow the economy. I mean, can government help in certain instances more than hinder? Sure, but I think that no matter what the heck happens, I think that the country is going to thrive. That's what I think, and I don't know what you think about that, but that was my thought on it. I just don't see why I wasn't that depressed about Bush, and I didn't think that he was going to destroy. I mean, maybe sometimes I did, but I honestly thought that somehow we're going to survive, and we're going to get ahead. I mean,
well, I think that's actually one of the things that sort of when you look at. I fundamentally disagree. I am not. I'm confusing myself. I fundamentally agree. I think in general. Things will be okay, and I think you're right there. I mean, I got really upset over a lot of things W was doing. I'm not all that happy with a bunch of things Obama's doing right now.
I am not either. But
at the same time, yeah, I mean, I remember having some conversations when, you know, George W. Bush was reelected for his second term. And a whole bunch of people I talked to sort of in the disaster, this is the end of the world, everything's horrible, how could this possibly have happened, blah blah blah. And I think I may have even posted something on my blog about it, which is like, you know, I didn't want the man to win anyway either, but you know, get over it.
Things
will be okay. The people have spoken, so we get four more years of this. And we'll see what happens. And there'll be a lot of things that happen that I don't like. But in the end, we will survive. And it's actually, you know, part of the, you know, American system is almost that you assume that every, you know, somewhere between 4 and 12 years or so, you know, we'll switch parties and we'll go in a different direction. And,
sure,
you know, we'll probably average out to something that's fairly decent. But in the meantime, you know, some of the time, half of the population is going to think we're going the wrong direction. And the other half of the time, the other half is going to think we're going in the wrong direction. And, you know, in the end, we'll muddle through and we'll get somewhere or other. So.
And look, a whole bunch of people have been really just, you know, we actually had some decent economic news this week, especially on the unemployment front. The situation is actually improving. And I guess one of the things I had said is just that people were like getting desperate. Well, the jobs haven't shown up. The jobs haven't shown up. The jobs haven't shown up. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, you know, I mean, you know, the stimulus took a while to get the money through into the economy. I mean, you know, it wasn't just going to happen like, you know, like at the flick of a switch. And I think it's starting to have certain effect. And I mean, I've seen people's shopping and expenses and people buying, and I see people doing stuff that they had been scared of doing before, and I see people investing and hiring. Hell, I mean, shit, I even found a damn job.
Well, I'll tell you, and you know, and I'll do this sort of anecdotally. I mean, earlier today I was out at Target getting some stuff, and I see more people there than I remember seeing last year at this time.
I agree. I went to the stores too, and I saw more people than I saw like last year.
I have nothing quantitative to talk about, but I mean, just the general impression is that, you know, last year at this time, I mean, if you remember, everybody was scared out of their mind to spend anything. Because, you know, they're like, I'm not sure if I'm going to have a job in a month. I don't know what's going on. You know, so I'm going to save every penny I can and we'll do what we need to, but nothing that much more, you know? And I remember going to, you know, being in malls and stores like Target and stuff like that last December and seeing it was almost a ghost town at times. I mean, now, yeah, having said that, the times where it was most a ghost town were times where, yeah, you know, aren't peak shopping times, like during the day and stuff. But even then, you know, you usually expect to see a lot busier thing in, like, you know, in December, a couple weeks before Christmas, you know. And so I think there is a change in the mood of people in terms of that kind of stuff. And that's going to percolate its way through other things.
Look, this year, I definitely have spent a lot more money already this year on Christmas than I did last year. That's for damn sure. You know, last year, I barely bought anything, to be quite honest with you. I really kept it really tight. But this year, I've already, you know, yeah, I've already splurged a lot.
You already blew the budget.
Oh yeah, you know, I went. I'm like, well, I did finally get my new iPhone, and I'm
congratulations.
Yeah, so I got a 3GS with 32 gigs. Yep, you know, yep. I got whatever the heck.
On that note, it's time for break. So let's take a break, and then we can talk more about your holiday splurging or other stuff when we get back. We'll be right back. This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by Notel Motel. From Western Theater with Spanish Bayonet by Jeff Downey. Deer jump fences, whereas antelope dig against the squalor coming from Canaries. You bet the stowaway makes it before the fall. There was no cabin pressure. We ate rhubarb leaves without having to cook them in the low mountainous boiling point. An intriguing vein of thought once let, revealed all for a while, and one for willing all, a ribbing given women fathom the grips we've come to with in fainting, an ancient device of oxygen. For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday. Okay, we're back. So
I finally did get a new iPhone. You know, but it's my first personally owned iPhone. I had used iPhones before, but I hadn't gotten one for myself.
Used other people's.
Yes. You know, my wife's inclusive, but you know, I didn't have one. But finally I got one. I'm very happy with it, I must say. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you know, setting it up and getting the software, a couple of apps running.
Yep. You plug it in and everything works. Yeah.
Everything worked. Yeah. And, you know, set up my email accounts and, you know, getting the push email on both my,
you don't even have my, to set it up. My you email just accounts set it to sync problem. With your lap, your computer, and it's all there.
And then you know, I didn't even have to. I mean, honestly, the only thing I downloaded from my computer was the music, because my contacts and everything are currently still on Exchange on an Exchange server. I did make a copy of them already, so I could transfer them to my Mobile Me account. But you know, right now I'm syncing with Exchange until, you know, my connection gets terminated. So, I mean, I've been quite happy with using my phone. You know, so my wife says I'm like a freaking little kid right now with a new toy. I just like, you know, I don't know. I'm like,
it's a good new toy.
Yeah. So I've been very, very happy with it. With just about everything, you know. So the other thing is that me and my wife, we also Well, we went, you know, I've been going to the gym pretty regularly for the last couple of years, but I hadn't really, I lost some weight, but I wanted to get further in that. I mean, I had gained over the last 3 years way too many pounds.
So did you get yourself some exercise equipment you're never going to use?
Oh, no. We're at the gym. No, what we did is my wife. No. I never buy exercise equipment for the house. No, that's the stupidest thing to do. I've always said that. But my wife went and started working, you know, met a personal trainer, started working out with her. And so I went and she said, well, you need to take some sessions with her. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I started working out with a personal trainer who is a hot Brazilian chick that she picked out. So nobody could. Nobody can give me any shit about this. I did not pick the trainer. She did. Okay. Right? So you know.
Your wife knows your tastes, apparently.
Yes, apparently she does. So anyway, the woman is a slave driver, and she is really, you know, my wife said yesterday that after she had a workout session with her, that even her hair hurt. Okay? All right? That's how hard she worked her out. So, you know, but she's, I saw her today and I didn't hear any complaints about pain today, but today she's, so anyway, we spent some money on that and we got these, the one thing I got, which I've been wanting to get for years, but I hadn't, but I've been working out is these watches that, actually
the heart rate stuff.
And you put this monitor, it's this thing that you strap around just below your chest, mm-hmm. and you strap that and it takes your information and it'll measure your heart rate, calories, it'll take the information of what you do and it'll log all your every time you go out and exercise.
Right.
So you can figure out how much exercise you've been doing. So I thought I got that and those were pretty cool. We got a couple of those and paid that, and I don't know what the hell else did we get. I don't know. We bought some furniture.
Ah, there you go. Fun stuff.
Yeah. So I got some furniture and stuff. So I don't know. So yeah, definitely this year. I mean, we're really, you know.
I just started, to be honest. I'm sticking to the last couple of years. I've done something that I liked, which is basically start. I don't do any Christmas shopping before December 1st. I know lots of people do. And lots of people are like, you know, the types who like start their shopping like many, many months before to spread it out over time. No, I don't do that. But what I've been doing the last couple of years is starting on December 1st, I get one present a day.
Okay.
For somebody or whatever. And, you know, and in the last couple of years, I've had a fairly limited list of people to you know, basically, you know, family. But, you know, so, you know, I got, so far I've gotten like, you know, one thing for the baby, a couple things for Brandy, one thing for Amy, one thing for my mom. And, you know, I'm doing one a day. And then when I run out of days, I'm done.
No, okay. So basically, you've been doing that. Okay. So, well, I mean, I don't know. I'm giving, actually, for my nephews, I decided that I'm giving them all cash.
There you go. They'll appreciate that.
They'll appreciate the cash. So, you know, so that's what I've been doing with them. So I don't know. So that's the one thing I've been doing. But, you know, other than that, you know, so that's, but you know, I don't know. I'm not that big on the shopping. I mean, I went and I made a list of what things to shop. And it's very few because I just said, well, my nephews are older. I mean, I'm like, the heck with this. I'll just
The prime time for this kind of stuff is when you have, you know, sort of young children, like between the ages of like, I don't know, 3 and 11 or something like that. You know, because they're the ones who really get really excited about like, you know, toys and
right,
you know, they're
right,
like right. Santa's coming and all of this kind of stuff, you know, and yeah, I mean, adults, you know, there's some exchange there too, but it's the kids who really like, you know, go nuts.
I mean, I don't know if you got me a Ferrari, I mean, I'd be excited about it.
Be a surprise, Yvonne, but you know.
Yeah, I got it out of you.
Yeah,
you know, so. I mean, I could be excited about a couple of gifts. I mean, you know, I'll show up, and, you know, my wife comes up and there's a Ferrari F430 parked outside. I'd be freaking going bonkers, you know, but I'm not expecting that I'm not expecting such a surprise for the holidays.
Yeah.
Especially since they probably would have cleaned out my bank account, you know, in order to do that.
Yes, I was going to say, you'll be so excited and then you'll be like, wait, bought what?
Exactly. So,
yeah. So, anyway, you know, anyway, exciting holiday shopping season. People are going to buy stuff, and it's going to help the economy. So, and people aren't as scared as last year. That's the bottom line.
Yay!
So let's take a break, and we'll be back on something completely different.
What do you get when two housewives produce an online poetry journal? Poems celebrating dishwater, breastfeeding, and lunar phases? Quick trips to the pool boy? Maybe. But they like to believe they offer much more than that. There's no telling what you'll get at the No-Tell Motel. But I hear sneaking out and keeping everything hush-hush is kind of sexy, and they're hot for discretion. Having it all keeps our two housewives awfully busy, so they like to stop and smell the posies, spend quality time with their poets, which is why their rendezvous lasts a full 7 days, a new poem each weekday. Each year they slip their room key to 52 poets and indulge in 260 poems. Their spouse's misfortunes are your gains. Meet with them daily at notelmotel.org. They'll be in room 5C, sipping the latest cocktail recommended in Martha Stewart's Living, Scribblin' Marginalia.
Okay, we are back. I just wanted to mention two things before I forget. I should have mentioned it at the beginning of the show, but I never remember these things at the beginning. One is, once again, hey, if you're listening on Google Listen, drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com to let us know that you're a real person, because we've been seeing a bunch of those lately, and just want to know who you are. So drop me a line. Second is, I wanted to congratulate a friend of ours, Erica, who had a baby.
She finally got the baby.
Tabitha has been born as of a few hours ago. Last night? Anyway, like within the last 24 hours. Anyway, so congratulations to our friend Erica, who I don't think listens to the podcast, but whatever. Congratulations anyway. And anyway, aside from that. There are a couple different things going on. Let's see if any of these you want to talk about, Yvonne. And obviously the healthcare stuff still going on. We had the big Afghanistan announcement. We said last week we weren't going to talk about it because it hadn't happened yet. Well, it's happened.
Okay, so we got the announcement. So, what do you think? I mean, I don't. So basically, we're investing the troops, and we said that. The one thing was that we didn't put all the troops that McChrystal wanted, but trying to get our allies to come to the table and put up some troops. And apparently they have. They said they are.
I think the whole thing here is I'll be honest. I'm very, very dubious of this thing, here, because it's on the one hand. We're saying, okay, we're going to start getting out in 2011, But on the other hand, essentially, we'll give them one more chance. We'll do this troop surge that the generals say they need. And then, if it works, great. If it doesn't, we're out of there anyway. And so this is a double-edged sword. I mean, there are a couple things that happen here. I've heard a couple people say, this is really good. Obama's calling the generals bluff. He's giving them one last chance. And then if it does work, everybody will say he's a genius. Great. If it doesn't work, he sort of can say, I did what they told me to. It didn't work. Now we're out. But on the other hand, I see this as one of those kind of situations where, okay, come on, let's get real. Let's say after a year and a half we're there, we're at the deadline where Obama's been talking about, okay, we're going to start pulling them out there. And, the generals are like, we've had a little bit of progress, but not very much. We just need to hang in there a little bit longer. It's going to be really hard to at that time say, it's time, we're out. And even in the last few days since Obama's announcement, Hillary Clinton and Gates have been walking this back a little bit and clarifying a few things and saying, like, look, well,
we're not going to cut and run.
We'll take it. We'll take into consideration the situation on the ground, which, of course, makes sense. But also, things like, July 2011 is not. It's not like on that day we're going to get out as quickly.
Everybody's leaving.
It's when we're going to start to draw down. And who knows what that means? I mean, there's a lot of hedging going on here. And one thing I have seen, like, you know, the press secretary, Robert Gibbs, was asked a question about this and went to clarify with Obama and came back and said, no, July is a date certain. July 2011 is a date certain. We're going to start getting out at that point.
Well,
and then all these other people are hedging. So I think there's still a lot of division going on here.
Well, I think this. I think you take an additional number of troops. You set a number of goals. I mean, in a year and a half, there are a certain number of goals that you can accomplish. Say, for example, training enough police and local army so they can actually take a bigger role in securing, you know, Afghanistan themselves. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, building infrastructure and other things that they may need, you know, setting up certain things. I mean, it could be at that point, and this is my personal perspective, if we've accomplished those goals, situation's still like shit, I don't see a problem with fucking pulling out. We said, listen, we gave you the troops, you have the equipment, you've got the stuff, we built this, you know, look. I got to tell you, if in a year and a half it hasn't improved, I don't think it's going to improve in 5, it's not going to improve in 10, it's not going to improve in 50.
Well, and this is one of the things that maybe, you know, public opinion has been growing against continued involvement in Afghanistan, but I'm guessing right now, if Obama had just said, you know, I've looked at the situation, there's nothing good happening here, we're just getting out right now, he would have gotten so hammered for that. For breaking a campaign promise, because despite what all these people on the left are bitching about him, you know, going and escalating Afghanistan,
this was a campaign promise he said flat out throughout the campaign.
This is something he said all the time, is that we need to be paying more attention to Afghanistan. So, you know, this, he promised to do this, and so he'd get hammered on that, but for breaking the promise, if he'd said, I'm getting out. He'd also get hammered for, you know, abandoning the place and cutting and running, and this isn't what Americans do, and blah, 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 you know, and all of that kind of stuff. So he would have been slaughtered if he had decided right now to get out. So, you know, one possibility is here, you know, like I said, it's like, here you go. I'm giving you what you want. You've got a year and a half. Do something that makes me, you know, believe in this. And then we're getting out, you know, and people are still criticizing him, of course, for actually giving a time certain deadline, because then, oh, okay, they can just wait us out and then, you know, blah, blah, blah. But
I disagree. I think that putting the time certain deadline puts a pressure on doing certain things by that time that we need to do, period.
The Afghanistan
are bullshit.
I mean, if we believe this, and if Obama is credible,
if I am credible, well,
you know, President Ivan, yeah, that would be a scary
yes.
thought. Anyway, if Obama is credible and makes people believe that he means it, and we're getting
You'd
out
be
of
my
here,
Secretary of State, man, I'd be, you know,
yeah,
be
yeah,
great.
But you know, then you know, people like the Karzai and such, and the governor of Afghanistan would be like, oh crap, you know, if I don't get things together in the next year and a half, then they're going to pull out, and then I'm going to be gone, because there's no
right.
way he could survive. You know.
Right.
Now, on the other hand, maybe his attitude towards that is, okay, great, this means I have a year and a half to get as much cash as I can out of the country and then get the hell out. You know,
maybe that's the plan.
you know, but I don't know. I just – part of this really boils down to how credible – is the notion that, you know, after the year and a half, we're out. And I don't honestly have a lot of faith that in that year and a half, we're going to get a lot accomplished. And let me clarify that. There is the possibility that with the extra surge of troops, we will have some short-term gains that look positive. But I believe they will all be of the sort that will revert back to form the second we leave.
Unless other things happen at the same time,
yeah.
and I don't know. I mean, I don't know that they will. I don't know.
But you know, and I still think even a year and a half from now, I mean, it'll be a major test for Obama to be like, you know, I meant it. We're leaving, because there will once again be a lot of pressure on the ground that says, you know, we're in the middle of a very tenuous situation. We've made some progress, but it'll all go to hell if we leave, and. will he be able to actually say, you know, you had your year there. You may be right that there was some progress, but in order to realize it, we have to stay there another 15 years and we're not going to do that. We're out. Will that happen? And I be honest, I have my doubts, because even with, like I said, even within a week, there are members of the Obama administration trying to back off that promise. And So I don't know that I believe it for a year and a half from now either. It'll be like, oh, the situation on the ground is different. We got to do this. We got to do that. You know, I know we said we'd leave, but there are all these reasons we can't. Yep. And this is so dangerous because, you know, as you know, people keep saying all the reasons it's not like Vietnam, and it doesn't have to be like Vietnam. It can be like freaking Afghanistan for all the other people who went into Afghanistan over the decades and centuries, you know.
Exactly. I mean, let's face it. Afghanistan is bogged down like
everybody.
Jesus. Well, it freaking, I don't know how many freaking years. He lost count.
And so, this is a place that has so much danger of becoming the kind of place where we just throw resources in without any significant results forever and ever and ever, and until it becomes bad enough that you give up. But, you know, this is, I don't know. And so, yeah, it all comes down to, when the time comes, will Obama have the strength to say, you know, that's it, we're done? And I don't know the answer to that. I guess we'll see. So,
we'll see.
Anyway, we said we were going to only do four segments today, and this is the end of the fourth segment. So, Yvonne, unless you have anything else, we'll wrap it up.
I don't think I got anything else.
Okay, well, then thanks to all our listeners to tuning into Curmudgeon's Corner. The usual things apply. Send me an email at abelsmay@abelsmay.com with your questions or thoughts, or comment on my blog at abelsmay.com when I post the episodes. That's good too. This last week, one listener posted on their Facebook account about us, actually saying that, you know, it would be better if he actually didn't say we're an idiot, but he did say Curmudgeon's Corner is best listened to when you can't see the time elapsed or the time remaining in the episode, implying that we basically go on too long. You know, and I suggested to the guy that he play us on double speed, but he was like, you know, I can't even think of, you know, what Yvonne would sound like sped up when he's agitated. So
yes. That would be a scary prospect even for me. So, yeah.
So anyway, thanks, everybody. Tell your friends. Tune in next week. We are done. Goodbye. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.